How do you know you're conscious? Arguably, it's the only thing you do know. Even if the entire world is an illusion, there's no denying you're having the experience you're having right now. But if you're ready to dive deeper into the nature of your subjective reality, check out these five key insights from Then I Am Myself, The World, What Consciousness Is and How to Expand It by Christoph Koch. Christoph is a neuroscientist at the Allen Institute and at the Tiny Blue Dot Foundation and a former professor at the California Institute of Technology. He writes regularly for a variety of publications, including Scientific American. Here he is to share five of his big ideas.
Hi, everyone. I'm Christoph Koch, a physicist who was, for a quarter of a century, a professor at the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena, before moving north to become first the chief scientist and then the president of the Allen Institute for Brain Science here in Seattle. I remain at the Institute, now as a regular scientist. I'm also the chief scientist of the Tiny Blue Dot Foundation in Santa Monica. I'm a cyclist, a runner, a climber, and rower, and live together with my wife and Mr. Felix, our beloved Bernese mountain dog, in the Pacific Northwest. Then I Am Myself, The World is my fifth book on consciousness and the brain. I'm an uncommon example of someone who has undergone a near-death experience, who's also a neuroscientist obsessed with identifying the substrate of this or any other conscious experience. Within seconds, my entire field of view became engulfed by dark, swirling smoke. The space around me fractured into 1,000 hexagons and shattered. The speed with which this happened left no time to regret the situation I got myself into. As I was sucked into a black hole, my last thought was that with the dying of the light, I too would die. And I did. I ceased to exist in any recognizable way, shape, or form. No more Christoph, no more ego, no more self, no memories, dreams, desires, hopes, fears. Everything personally was stripped away. Nothing was left but a non-self. This remaining essence wasn't man, woman, child, animal, spirit, or anything else. It didn't want anything, expect anything, think anything, remember anything, dread anything. But it experienced. Boy, did it ever. It saw a point of cold white light of unbearable intensity, unable to conceive of looking away as there was no away from. There was no left or right, no up or down, no front or back, far away or close by. There wasn't a black canvas upon which the light existed, as there was no space. There were no other attributes, no color, no motion, no texture, no sound or silence, no smell, no body, no pleasure, no pain. What there was a timeless universe convulsed to a blazing icy light. That, and a profound feeling of both terror and ecstasy, the awfulness of pure experience lasting indefinitely, for there was no perception of time. The experience wasn't brief or long, it simply was. Besides taking away my anxiety of dying, my fear of death, my experience vividly demonstrated that when the chips are down, what remains is pure experience. There was no external world, no body, no self, nothing but a space collapsed into a singularity of overwhelming brightness and an extraordinary mixture of terror and ecstasy. I've tracked the neuronal footprints of consciousness my entire adult life. I started the search back in the late 80s when I met a kindred spirit, British molecular biologist Francis Crick, who co-discovered the helical structure of the molecule of heredity, DNA, and who helped decipher the genetic code. We've wrote two books and many articles advocating for identifying the molecules and circuits in the brain sufficient for anyone's specific conscious percepts and outlining a pragmatic strategy for this quest. It is taking a long time. Indeed, last year, I lost a 25-year wager made in 1988 with the philosopher Dave Chalmers when I had to publicly admit that the community of scientists who study such matters still disagree on which bits and pieces of brain tissue mediate any one conscious experience. I lost 6 very good bottles of Madeira wine. But sooner or later, we will know the answer. My near-death experience forced me to reconcile my stance as a scientist with my inner child, sitting around the campfire and entranced by the stories of other people's mystical and transformative experiences I've always wondered about. You see, back in the 80s and 90s, when I started, The dominant position in Anglo-Saxon philosophy departments was a single-minded metaphysical belief in the righteousness of physicalism, which is really materialism updated for the 20th century. The eagle of physicalism had seemingly defeated its millennia-old enemy, dualism, the belief in a mental domain of existence independent of the material, sometimes identified with the soul, and this eagle of physicalism screamed supremacy, voiced by the doyen of American philosopher Stan Dennett, who crowed, "Dualism is not a serious view to contend with, but rather a cliff over which to push one's opponent." This triumphalism, however, turned out to be premature, and classical physicalism itself is in decline. However, like any century-old dogma, metaphysical, religious, or ideological, it has momentum and powerful institution behind it. So to most, the death throes of physicalism as an all-encompassing metaphysical system of belief comes as news. The practice of science is extraordinarily successful in characterizing the universe, from its smallest constituents, quarks, to its largest, superclusters of galaxies. Technology, the daughter of science, benefits society in the form of COVID-19 vaccines, solar cells, large language models, or quantum computing. But the metaphysical underpinning of science, physicalism, fails to provide a satisfactory explanation of matter. The more we smash elementary particles into each other, the better we can predict, yet the less we understand what is meant by the physical, as all the mind-bending paradoxes of quantum mechanics attest to. Physicalism has likewise been unable to satisfactorily account for experience. Explanations for how the brain, a piece of furniture of the universe like any other, can feel like something have come up short again and again. Denying the existence of consciousness, denigrating its causal efficiency, gaslighting us into believing that our feelings about painfulness of pain or the beauty of a sunset are an illusion have come to naught. Despite the best efforts of physicalists, consciousness refuses to be cancelled. So the challenge is to explain the subjective aspect of any experience with the objective tools of science. And we now have a formal scientific theory, the Integrated Information Theory, sometimes abbreviated as IIT, of consciousness, that does exactly this. The theory has emerged as the most prominent scientific theory of consciousness over the past two decades. The theory advocates that consciousness is ultimately the capacity of complex systems to exert causal powers upon themselves, to be agents of change. Physicalism starts with the material world, the brain, and then seeks to squeeze the juice of consciousness out of it. This is hard with a capital H, as Dave Chalmers has emphasized, and hasn't worked. Instead, we must return to earlier schools of thoughts in philosophy of mind that give primacy to the mental and ask what properties in the world are necessary to support the mental. This is the approach of the integrated information theory. It predicts the bits and pieces of the cortex that are the substrate of consciousness in the back of the cortex, the outermost layer. Experience doesn't require the front of cortex associated with reasoning, language, and decision-making, but not with experience. The theory lets us measure not just our own level of consciousness, that is the quantity of consciousness, the system's integrated information, but also its qualitative aspects, what anyone experience feels like, why red feels the way it does, different from green and very different from a high C or a toothache. The theory leads to clinical relevant devices to detect the presence of consciousness in severely injured and behavioral unresponsive patients. The theory explains mystical and psychedelic experiences that abolish egoic consciousness and that reveal the extent to which we inhabit a constructed reality, a narrative of our own making. Finally, integrated information theory takes a firm stance on digital computers as presently engineered. They will never be conscious, although they will, sooner or later, become super intelligent. For in the final analysis, consciousness is about being, not about doing. We're liberating ourselves from the constraints of straight-faced physicalism by empirically testable theory that centers on experience, the only thing that exists for itself, that exists in an absolute sense. A theory that explains how mind and its causal powers create the world, including the most active piece of organized matter in the known universe, the brain. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Christoph. That was 5 big ideas from Then I Am Myself the World, What Consciousness Is and How to Expand It by Christoph Koch. Also check out our book bite for Sentience, The Invention of Consciousness by Nicholas Humphrey. I'm Michael Kavanagh. Have a great day.